We are glad you're here this morning, and mostly I'm glad you survived Snowmageddon, the bomb cyclone. I kind of miss the days when this was just a spring snowstorm, you know. And I don't know if you were checking your phone, but Tuesday afternoon, I saw this on my phone. Look at this. This phone right here, this picture, there we go. Blizzard warning, 60 degrees. There's like something doesn't work in the math on that, right? And I realize now, because so many people from California have moved here, that, you know, just saying, you bunch of wimps. But we are glad you're here, and I hope for all of us that it's a reminder how God wants to connect in to our lives. Matt and I are doing this series, When Pigs Fly. We're looking at the miracles of Jesus, and there are 33 recorded miracles. We have specific miracles, and we're looking at about a third of those between now and Easter. And I hope, as you've been catching what Matt and I have been saying, that the miracle is a big deal, but it's a billboard. It's actually pointing us to something that's bigger. And the miracle we're going to look at today is in John chapter 5. You have your Bibles, want to invite you to turn there, catch it on your phone. The words will also be on the screen, but we're just going to dive in, because in this miracle, it's actually kind of this simple scene that happens, that unfolds. But what is this message that the miracle might be pointing us towards? John chapter 5 starts out this way. And sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. And remember, right before this scene, Jesus has been in the Galilee region. He's been teaching, and crowds have been getting bigger. But now he's come down to Jerusalem. He's not very well known yet, particularly in Jerusalem, but still people are gathering with him. He's got his disciples, those 12 who have been with him all day, every day. And now they're coming into Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem, even today, it's spread beyond this, but the old city is still a walled city. Now, in those days, it was for protection. It was a fortress kind of place. You were able to gate the city to keep from who could get in, and it was how kings protected their region. And so here they come into the city of Jerusalem for this feast. Now, the Jews had a number of big annual feasts, and they were messages that point them to God, but they were also reminders of their history and past, and oftentimes the city of Jerusalem would just be overflowing with people as they would come home, so to speak, for one of those feasts. Verse 2, there's in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. So you came through this Sheep Gate. There were a number of gates. Today the Sheep Gate is primarily closed off. It's not accessible today. But just inside the Sheep Gate was this pool of Bethesda. It would have been a natural pool that would have formed, and they would have built stones around it to capture the water, and they covered it like a big patio, 5 colonnades. It was actually a fairly large place. In fact, we're leaving this week, Tuesday, with a group from here to Israel, and we'll head and we'll go to this pool of Bethesda, where they're excavating this out, and it's just a great chance to see place. And so I'll be praying for the group that's headed over there this week. And the Sheep Gate was a commerce gate. It was a gate of busy activity. It was a place where people would bring their goods in to sell. It was where all the merchants would come through. It was a hustling and bustling part of the city. And this pool of Bethesda was just inside the gate. Now, there was a legend about this pool, and it was this, that the pool was a place for healing. Bethesda, we have today, Bethesda Nursing, Bethesda Hospital, Bethesda Care Centers. It's rooted right here in John chapter 5, this pool of Bethesda. And here was the legend, that the water would bubble, and when it bubbled, it meant that an angel had dipped into the water, and so anybody who got into the water first would be healed of whatever disease they had. And there probably were some healings that happened in this place, similar to Guadalupe, the shrine at Guadalupe in Mexico City, or Lourdes in France, where there have been these healings. You go there today, and there's still hundreds of people who will go with their physical or emotional issues, hoping to be healed. Now, more than likely, those healings were kind of more psychosomatic healings, where you went, you did what you were supposed to do, you went with hope, and you believed, and you had this experience. So clearly there were some healings that must have generated this legend that had gone on. And because of that, in fact, here's what the next verse says. A great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. We know from history that hundreds of infirm people would lie by this pool every day. And my guess, there were really three reasons. The first was this was a place of healing. And if you had a physical disability or an emotional issue going on or something that you wanted healing from, certainly you would go to this place. But secondly, it was also a place where the commerce gate was, right? And your only way of income in that day, if you were disabled, was to beg. And so here you have all these merchants coming and going with their goods and selling those goods. There was a lot of cash flowing in that spot. And so it was probably a convenient and easy place. But I bet there was a third reason. And I think that third reason was that here was your social connection, right? You were a bit disenfranchised, and here you had this opportunity to connect with others and gather and be in this place. And so what we know is that all of these people with some issue, physical or emotional, that they wanted healing from would come and lie by this pool. Now we know that actually that pool was a natural pool fed by some springs that came out of the hills outside of the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is surrounded by hills, and the water would flow into there, and sometimes those springs would surge and it would cause the bubbling. But nonetheless, here are all these people. Verse 5 tells us this. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. We don't get much information on him. We don't learn his name. We don't really know about his condition, how it happened. Was it a lifelong disease? Was it an accident? Did something happen to him along the way? We don't really get any information. All we know is that here's a man who for 38 years has been an invalid. And Jesus sees him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time. And he asked him, do you want to get well? So we don't get a lot of color here. John says Jesus and his followers come inside the sheep gate. They travel in with all the merchants, and there by the pool are all of these hundreds of disabled people. People looking for something, some kind of healing. And there's a man who's been an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus says to him, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Now I'm guessing that would be obvious. You're at the hospital, so to speak. Surely there seems to be an obvious answer to that question. But think about this. If 38 years this had been the condition you had been in, you probably kind of run out of hope along the way. You'd had a lot of miracle workers come by hoping for stuff. You'd been at this pool. We don't really know if he'd been there for a day or he'd been there 38 years, but here he is at the pool, and he'd kind of grown accustomed to being like he is. He developed a lot of patterns and a lot of way he did life, and here he was, and Jesus singles him out. We don't know, was he close by the street? Did Jesus go through the crowd to find him? Was he by the water's edge? We don't really get any detail. We get no color from John as he tells us this story, other than Jesus asks the question, do you want to get well? And it is a yes or no question, isn't it? Here's his response. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Jesus says to this man, do you want to get well? And he responds, and I really love to. But every time I try to get in the water, somebody goes down ahead of me. I'd like to be well, but I can't. It's not really my fault. I'd love to be better. Now we're going to come back at this and look at this from, what is it, the message that maybe we're supposed to catch? But hang on to that one, because you're going to recognize this in the mirror in just a few minutes. I would if I could, but I can't, so I'm not. I'd love to be better, but it's not really my fault. I would like to be well. Do you want to get well? And here's what happens next. The guy responds, and Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. Now, honestly, I like this part of the thing. Not the cool miracle that happened. That's cool. But this guy's trust, right? He doesn't know Jesus. We're going to read on here in just a second. He had no idea who he was. This guy says to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And he does. And he responds. He takes that courageous thing. Can you imagine? There he is sitting with his friends. And who knows how many times some charlatan had come through, somebody, maybe even a mocking way, had said to him, hey, why don't you get up and walk? And now here's somebody else saying the same, get up and walk. And he gets up and he does. That's amazing. But here's another amazing thing. When we're there and you look at those excavation pits, those pools were pretty deep, actually. They weren't just some little shallow wading pool that would have been there in the city. It was a fairly deep pool. And here you have this disabled guy who's thinking about tossing himself into that deep pool when the water stirred. There's some courage in that. He gets up and he walks. Well, look at what happens here next. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Now, remember what Sabbath is. Sabbath for the Jews was a day when they didn't do any work. It was rooted in the Ten Commandments when God said, and on the seventh day you'll rest and from your work. And so from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, the Jews don't do any work if they were going to follow the law. Now, from that commandment that had been given in the few thousand years that had followed, the rabbis, the religious leaders, had taken that one rule and they defined what work meant. And they had all kinds. They had pages and pages and pages of fine print, regulations. Apple contract had nothing on these guys and what was included in that thing. And here's what they would do to get around it. You could only walk so far. And then if you went another step further, it was considered work. So what they would do is if you went so far from your home, it was work. They would take objects from their home. They would walk however far that was. They could walk before it wasn't work. And they would put down a chair or a ceramic bowl. And now they were home again. And they could walk a little further. And they would do that if they knew they were going the next day to the market or somewhere to visit a friend. They found all kinds of ways to get around the rules. Hang on to that one too, because you're going to see that in the mirror here just a minute. But here's the part that stuns me. And so the Jews said to the man who'd been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. This dude had not walked for 38 years. He gets up, he's walking, and the religious leaders are going, yo, hey, you're not supposed to do this today. You're carrying your mat. At that point, I know me, I would have been whacking him with the mat, right? I mean, I would have like, right? Because hang on, because you're going to see this person in the mirror in a second. Sometimes you and I get so caught up in following all the little rules, we miss the bigger thing God might be doing all around us. And look how it goes on. The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And so they asked him, well, who is this who told you to pick up and walk? And the man who had been healed said, I got no idea. And Jesus had slipped away into the crowd. Now, honestly, how come this miracle's here? I mean, John himself at the end of his gospel says this. If we were to have written down everything that Jesus said and did, there's not enough paper, there's not enough room on the planet to hold all the books. So why this one? I mean, really, busy city, people coming in for the feast, they come in the sheep gate, a lot of activity going on right there, a lot of people trading, getting ready for the feast, the festival that was about to happen. Hundreds of people, don't miss this, hundreds of people laying around this pool. And Jesus heals one. We don't get recorded here that he went around the rest of the pool. And you open your eyes and you get over the paranoia and schizophrenia you have. And you, none of that. One guy, we don't get his name, we don't get his story. And we never hear another word about him in the Gospels. See, sometimes we place such a big deal on the healing. There's an entire cottage industry of faith, of people who will promise you all kinds of things. If you'll just do the right formula, pray the right prayer, get the right person to lay hands on you, whatever it is that they're gonna do. We make a big deal about the healing, but when you actually go through the miracles of Jesus, That didn't seem to be the issue. If you go all the way back to the first week when we were talking about, it actually was declaring who Jesus was. But even here in this one, can you imagine how powerful it would have been? You had thousands and thousands of people journeying back to Jerusalem for this festival. You had hundreds of people coming in this city who were just there for business that day. You had several hundred laying around this pool. Can you imagine if Jesus had just done the, yo, all of you, get up. Man, billboard at that point. You want to announce who you are, you want to declare something big, you want to make a big deal statement, that would have been impressive, wouldn't it? Now, if you're the one guy who gets healed, whoa, big deal. But what about his friend sitting right next to him? What about the people he'd gotten him there that morning? So what is it that maybe we're supposed to hear in this? Because now you remember, when John is recording this gospel, it was likely 2 decades after this event had happened. So now he's an older man. He's journeyed with Jesus. He's watched the crucifixion and death, the burial, resurrection of Jesus. He's seen the church explode and go. He's watched God do some amazing things in fixing people's hearts and drawing them back to God. And now he's sitting somewhere in a desk and he's writing and he records this miracle of all the things he could have told us about. I remember reading this over a bunch of times, and there was a little bit of it for me. I mean, the very first time I read it, I didn't know much about Jesus at that point. I didn't know much about Bible, really. I just some New Yorker teen who had come to Christ, and everything I'd heard about Jesus had been good stuff. Kind, gracious, nice, merciful. I get here. Now, one who had been there had been an invalid for 38 years. That's a long time. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he said to him, "You want to walk?" I'm from New York. I'm used to rude. But that seems like rude. At least presumptuous. And yo, Smokey, I'm at the pool. What do you think? Awesome. So after I journeyed for a while, maybe like John, I read this completely differently. Because it was no longer a question to this guy. It was a question I heard God asking me. You want to get well? Because it's a question most of us need to answer. Now, there are folks among us, right, our friends, who have some physical stuff going on that they want to get healed from. I get that. I have friends I'm praying for. We're praying for the Reginatos on a daily basis. But there's more here, isn't there? Because most of us in the room don't really have that going on. Some of us do. But everybody in this room, we all want to be better. Something. Matt and I out in the lobby, what happens to us is people come out, and there's never a week goes by that someone doesn't say, "Man, I just wish my life were better. I'm so depressed, or I'm so angry, or this addiction thing is eating my lunch, or my marriage isn't good, or my kids, or something going on with boss, or I don't like my life like this. I'm too busy. I'm too stressed. I got to get better management on my time or my money, or I don't like some stuff." That's what we hear every week out in the lobby. And the difference for Matt and I is kind of this. Matt's here. He's younger. He's gracious. He's saying to you, yeah, you know, man, we're with you. How can I help you? And I want to say, yeah, right. You don't want to get better. You want whatever pain you're feeling right now to go down. And when the pain goes down, you're going to just keep doing what you've been doing to feel like you feel. Do you want to get well? Because there's very few of us in the room who change when we see the light. We change. When do we change? When we feel the heat. Because most of us are going to stay the same until the pain of change is less than the pain of staying like we are. Something triggered. Something happened. You want to get well? That's a big deal question. Because after all, we would if we could. But we can't, so we're not. It's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. It's my spouse's fault. It's my ex's fault. It's my boss's fault. It's that coach's fault. It's a teacher who didn't pick me at the front of the classroom. It's their fault. It's their fault. I'm just a victim. And for every one of us who look in the mirror and see a victim, which is most of us, God is asking you, you want to get well? Do you really? Because if you do, things are going to shift for you. They're going to change. What you've grown accustomed to doing is going to change. How you've actually managed to work your life around, the compensation things you've done to make it work for you, the things about you that you've adjusted, the things you've excused, the behaviors you've allowed, the stuff that you've put up with, that's all going to change. Do you want to get well? That's a big deal question. And early in my journey, I never heard it. Because I was all in on all the good God stuff. Grace and mercy and love and peace and joy. I wasn't as ready for the, and yo, Smokey, you're going to change. You're going to have to change. And then there are some of us in the room, when we look in the mirror, what do we see? All those people who are experiencing God's goodness in their life, but what they're doing, they're carrying a mat. Not supposed to carry a mat. Today's the wrong day to carry the mat. You're not following the box. You didn't come to church. You didn't pray enough. You didn't read the Bible. You didn't check off the box. You don't look like us. You don't act like us. You haven't gotten your stuff together yet. When you get that together, hey, then come. A lot of us get caught in this trap of being like the Pharisees. We know what it likes to have a relationship with God, and you better tick all the boxes, because if you don't have one either. And you know what Jesus says to you and me who look in the mirror and see that? Hey, do you want to get well? Because if you do, there's only one. There's only one who can make that happen for you. And actually, at this moment in time, he just slipped off into the crowd. Because the big deal about this miracle wasn't declaring who he was. The big deal about this miracle was what he could be to me. You want to get well? Well, that's you get to decide that one. That's not on us. That's on you. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your grace. We need it. We don't deserve it. Most of us get stuck by a lot of pools hoping it's going to fix us. And you give us a way. You give us a way to get well. So Lord, help us to reach for you, to seek you, to hear you, to see you. Lord, we do want to get well. We pray in Jesus' name.